This is Ed Mazur, the chairman of the City Club of Chicago. Our meeting today featured a discussion of our great rivers, the Chicago River, the Des Plaines River, and the Calumet River, and visions for the future. Our panelists included Mary Sue Barrett, who heads the Metropolitan Planning Council, Commissioner Rebecca Scheinfeld of the Department of Transportation, City of Chicago, Mariana Spiropoulos, the president of the Water Reclamation District, and the 11th Ward Alderman, the Bridgeport Alderman, Alderman Patrick Thompson. Chicago's three rivers give us 155 miles of riverfront versus 26 miles of lakefront. The river is what made Chicago great, but people who spoke today said the river is becoming even more and more inviting as a recreational and as a commercial facility. Currently, people are fishing in the Chicago River, and perhaps within the next 20 years, people will be swimming in the Chicago River. Next week, the mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, will host 19 mayors from five different continents who will be holding seminars on the waterfront and how it contributes to the quality of life in cities like Chicago.
Our next speaker is the mayor of Chicago. There are three quick things I want to share with you about the mayor. The City Club of Chicago is enormously grateful to him and his wife, Amy, for both visiting and speaking at Misericordia and Special Olympics Chicago and all the different charitable and civic things that we do, and encouraging everyone to give back in the same measure that they have received. Number two. The City Club of Chicago is very thankful to our next speaker for helping raise millions for children and adults with special needs. Number three, our next speaker's frequent attendance at City Club of Chicago events and encouraging his commissioners and fellow civic leaders to speak is deeply appreciated. Ladies and gentlemen, Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
Thank you. Let me, first of all, I want to thank everybody for being here. I just came from cutting the ribbon at a new office building, the one at River Point in the city of Chicago. It was special for me only because it was my first office building as mayor coming out of the recession. It was done on spec, not a single tenant, and it's now 85%. Fully occupied. And I say that there's a number of office buildings now under construction, but that tells the story of Chicago over the last 5 years. One, incredible, great new architecture. Two, a new office building built, somewhat a roll of the dice. And three, that it was done on the riverfront, which is what we're here to talk about. And the truth is, we're a very fortunate city, and I'm sorry, I've been waiting for this audience for like 6 years, so you're going to have to live with this, okay? When every other city in the Great Lakes area was industrializing, and they did it on the lakefront, we as a city, well over 100 and some 50 years ago, decided to leave our lakefront open. We had the luxury of doing that because of the river. So what every other city from Gary to Detroit to Buffalo, Milwaukee did by industrializing their lakefront, and now they're all trying to figure out how to reclaim it. We have people, four individuals with the foresight to think down over the horizon by 150 years. And so our next investment is now, as you probably know, is on our beautiful lakefront. We're going to create separate bike and running paths the whole distance so you don't have to hear on your left ever again. Now, this is political, and you will never hear on your right. I just had to get that off my chest. On another serious note, though, our riverfront was industrialized. Now, in 2011, I said we were going to make our Chicago River the next park in Chicago, the next recreational horizon landscape for the city of Chicago. Like all candidates running for office, I don't know what I said, but I know I said that. And I don't even know what I meant. On a serious note, though, when we did that, you could see in what we did, working with Alderman Moore and the City Council and other members, we closed the last two coal-fired power plants that were operating anywhere in urban America, which meant that the coal, the scrap metal, all stopped. And that left the river open for both not only economic development, but then recreation. We contacted Jeannie Gang, and she did two of the four boathouses, both award-winning, for canoeing, kayaking, crew on our river, and reintroducing Chicagoans who had been basically literally cut off from our river for 150 years. It was an industrial highway. Let's be honest, everybody in this room, none of us 20 years ago, 30 years ago, would have thought twice about going to the river for recreation. We now have the Army Corps coming to us and saying we have too much recreational traffic on the river. That's a high-class problem. And that's a new phenomenon for us. And after the boathouses started, we then went to the federal government with no resources from us locally, sought a TIFIA loan for $95 million to build the Riverwalk, which has been, by every estimation, a stunning success for the city of Chicago. And not only that office building, there's another office building on the river, Apple Store is going up, the largest investment by a Chinese real estate development firm in the United States of America, the Wanda Project is on the river. All of that is happening because we as a city are discovering the river, what it could be from a recreational standpoint, an economic engine. I'm also excited to announce that on Monday, we have 19 mayors from five continents from around the world all come to the city of Chicago to talk about cities and their waterfronts. Mayor of Paris and I are jointly holding it, but the mayor of Milan, Cape Town, Haifa, Belgrade, Lahore, Gothenburg, Dallas, Mexico City, Montreal. I knew once I started I should have had the list because if you leave somebody out, Memphis, yeah, Buffalo, all coming onto the city of Chicago because all of us are engaging in a conversation of how to take water and waterfront and make it an economic engine and a quality of life and a recreational experience for the city of Chicago. And both the mayor of Paris and I are jointly holding this conference here in the city of Chicago. And once again, putting Chicago dead center of an important conversation that's happening in urban centers across the globe. And so 19 cities, mayors, five continents, all coming to the city of Chicago. And this is, again, Chicago is a global city. We are open to the world, and the world is coming to us to discuss what is in front of all of us as cities and urban and planning and thinking about our riverfront. And I want to thank the City Club for hosting this meeting and discussion. We all are from Chicago. The idea if we said, you know what, 15 years ago, let's discuss Chicago and the Chicago River as an economic engine. It was not possible. And both through not only things that we have done, but I also want to compliment the Metropolitan Water and Sanitation District. I know this only from the Friends of Chicago River. So if it's not true, it's their fault, but I'm going to repeat it as if, but it is true. This is a true point, is 30 years ago, Chicago had seven species in its river. Today, there are over 70 species in the river. And I compliment everybody for that environmental work because the notion that you could have recreation could not happen if it was not clean and embarking on that project as a city. So about 7 months ago, from public, private, not-for-profit, academic, all came together to lay out a vision and put points on the horizon over the next 30 years and milestones to be hit over the next 30 years that we as a city, as a metropolitan area, collectively hit those milestones. The Riverwalk, the boathouses are just a down payment. There are things that we're going to be doing on both the North Branch and the South Branch of the river in our neighborhoods because our neighborhoods are having the same process now that we're seeing in our central business district, a rediscovering of the river as a park and a recreational space and a quality of life improvement for all of us. And the other thing is that we have more riverfront property as a city than we do lakefront property. Yeah, see, that's exactly what I said. Huh. There's also U.S. history for 200. There's a take-home exam and a written. You can go check it on Google. But I can't think of a better forum to have and the people to have it than the people you're bringing up here who have all one way or another been intimately involved in shaping and thinking through a process. And I want to say Mary Sue Barrett, you know, is going to be here. Rebecca Scheinfeld from CDOT, who's been a central player in my administration helping think this through. Alderman Patrick Thompson, who one of the boathouses, and again, like part of our history. This boathouse is in Bubbly Creek. 30 years ago, you'll be rowing at Bubbly Creek. None of us would have thought of that. It now has a Genie Gang award-winning architectural boathouse that the University of Chicago's crew team, St. Ignatius, all rent and row out of. And it tells you that story of the trajectory we're on and the journey we're on as a city of that discovery where the rather than the river be apart from the city, it's now a part of our city. And then I also want to say that the Metropolitan Water Sanitation District has been a tremendous partner in doing the work and the hard work that was denied for years, that they had to clean up the river, and through the sanitation work and the investment that we can now have an aquatic life where literally when I cut the ribbon on the river, there was a guy fishing, and he caught the Asian carp. I got to reel it in for the camera shot, okay? But that tells you the discovery that we are on and the issue of the city and the river. And I look forward to this discussion and all our efforts as a city as we march down the next 30 years and make a process where we'll be unique in the world, a city with both a lakefront and a riverfront where both waters are working economically and recreationally for the city. So congratulations. Let's have this forum and discussion. Thank you. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. If I can invite up my fellow colleagues to the panel. Thank you so much, Mayor Emanuel, for setting the stage. I'm Mary Sue Barrett, President of the Metropolitan Planning Council. And I am just thrilled that you got to hear a preview of the big idea of our great rivers, that vision. And I'm delighted that the City Club decided to invite all of us to be part of this conversation today, and to all of you for making time to learn about it. Some of you have been deeply involved, quite a few of you, in fact, and others I know because you asked me as you walked in the room, so what exactly is up with the rivers? And we'll have a chance to learn more together. There are quite a few of my colleagues here from the Metropolitan Planning Council, including a person I want to introduce you to, our new board chair, Todd Brown, as well as some of my colleagues from MPC staff, especially Kara Riggio, our project manager, and Josh Ellis, our vice president for this Rivers project. So thanks to all of you. A quick show of hands, I've got a brief quiz for you. How many of you crossed over or under a river to get around so far today? Uh-huh. How many of you have explored, walked around the Riverwalk? How many of you have kayaked or canoed in the river? And admit it, how many of you sometime in your lifetime have swum in the river? All right. So for more than 80 years, the Metropolitan Planning Council has been a connector of committed people, problem solvers, and good ideas to unlock the growth potential of our region. Our Great Rivers is a topic that I'm enormously excited about, and so it's really the ideal one for me to talk to you about today. Let me show you why. Our Lake Michigan shoreline, as you heard from Mayor Emanuel, is one of Chicago's crown jewels. But our city exists because of its rivers. Chicago is home to 155 miles of riverfront, and we've got 26 or 27 miles of lakefront, so it is a dramatic expanse. It covers the Chicago North and South Branch, the Calumet, and a few miles of the Des Plaines River. So there you see our network of three rivers. These three rivers offer an incredibly diverse array of land uses and landscapes, connecting dozens of neighborhoods together to downtown, to each other, to the forest preserves where city meets suburb, and to the rest of the nation and the world. For too long, though, these rivers were overlooked. They were undervalued. They were underappreciated. But over the past few decades, particularly since the U.S. Clean Water Act of 1972, an act that we will need to defend, Chicagoans' perceptions of our rivers have changed steadily. Thanks to the water quality improvements, new development along the river, and tireless advocacy of groups like Friends of the Chicago River. The dynamic riverwalk, the Park District boathouses you heard the mayor described, and new building after new building along our riverfronts, they're all testament to that changing narrative. Yet, not every riverfront neighborhood has benefited. Yet, there are water quality challenges. There's limited access. There's litter. There's significant work to be done to unlock the potential of our great rivers to benefit everyone. And to guide future investment and to give voice to our aspirations, we needed a unifying, forward-looking vision. That idea was to capture all ideas, big and small. So, in 2015, just 2 years ago, when Mayor Emanuel approached us along with a trio of funders, the Joyce Foundation, ArcelorMittal, and the Chicago Community Trust, thanks to Mike Davidson and Joanna Trotter for being here today, they asked the Metropolitan Planning Council to lead the development of this vision. We knew this was going to be no small task. Along with Friends of the Chicago River, the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning, or CMAP, and many, many other partners, we were able to attract additional funders, the Gaylord and Dorothy Donnelly Foundation, the Driehaus Foundation, Boeing, and together we developed Chicago's vision and action agenda for the future of our great rivers. Rivers that connect dozens of unique neighborhoods, and which are, as the mayor gave us a sense of, our final urban frontier. Our rivers have captured the imagination of our city's leading architects, designers, and developers, and attracted a growing number of walkers, birders, bikers, and tourists. We needed this vision for the Chicago River's future, and with our partners in 2015, throughout that year, we heard from over 6,000 individuals. We hosted over 120 meetings. We often brought people to the river to learn how they experience it and to discuss priorities and opportunities for our future. We heard from paddlers, fishermen, we heard from runners, and also from a lot of folks who don't currently use the rivers, but who would like to. People who work for riverfront daycare centers, who work at places like Pico Palette on the Calumet. We went kayaking. We did a ride-along with the Coast Guard. We unloaded barges with Ozinga. We took long walks with the Little Village Environmental Justice Organization and other neighborhood organizations along stretches of the river that today have more chain-link fences sprouting than anything else from the ground. Regardless of whether their stretch of the river has parks, preserves, active industry, or not much of anything, almost every one of those 6,000 people told us they wanted the same things: better access, cleaner water, and shorelines, more jobs and a wider array of jobs, and more options for recreation. This includes everything from crew, that's competitive rowing, to quiet places to read a book during lunch, from nature preserves to places for baptisms. The thousands of Chicagoland residents who spoke to us clearly wanted our rivers to play a bigger part in their lives. And that's no surprise, considering that a whopping 15% of us, 15% of Chicagoans, and 50% of jobs are within a half a mile of a river. This outreach helped us inform the Great River Chicago team. We had a leadership commission, we have a technical resource group, and thanks to many of you who are here today, to develop a vision. It's truly your vision for our great rivers. And you can see the vision up here. It is that by 2040, we'll achieve a series of tasks that will make our rivers really exhibit these three characteristics: inviting, productive, and living. We have copies of our great rivers vision. If those of you who like to dig into the details would like a copy, please do grab one as you depart through the reception area. It features some fabulous renderings from Ross Barney Architects, designer of the Chicago River Walk, who was our partner in this process. It lays out goals and specific timelines to achieve longer-term bold ideas, along with some practical near-term steps. So, what does this first theme of inviting mean? enhancements to infrastructure, information about where to go, and programming that will make our rivers more meaningful, exciting places to be, drawing more people out for recreation, for work, or for relaxation. Just picture activities like dragon boat races, such as the ones that drew people to the Calumet last summer. Real-time water quality information readily available to the public, so, you know, you can know what you're getting into. Litter and odor-free rivers. And the one that I am most excited about personally, a continuous riverfront trail built by the year 2030. Yes, that's a big, ambitious goal. But consider what we've already achieved. The Des Plaines River Trail runs for 55 miles today from North Avenue to the Wisconsin border. And the Calseg Trail, it's still a work in progress, but it's now the second most heavily used trail after the Lakefront Path. Plain and simple, people love to be by water. Access to the Chicago River is like a puzzle, and you can just see the potential. The most prominent is Mayor Emanuel's achievement of expanding the Riverwalk, all the way from Lake Street, from Lake Michigan. Our next challenge is to join these multiple pieces and to connect dozens of neighborhoods to downtown and to each other and to the suburbs. We're really pleased to be partnering with the Active Transportation Alliance, who has developed a blueprint for a continuous trail. This is an all-hands-on-deck transformational investment, and one that I know that we are up to, Chicago, the city that works. So what does this theme mean, productive? Well, our rivers must remain the historically working rivers they have been, transportation arteries, but also reinvent themselves as commercial corridors and tourism generators for the future. What's next? New visions for modern working rivers. The Department of Planning and Development has just started a process of examining all of Chicago's industrial corridors to modernize them for the 21st century. Several of their early priorities include the North Branch and Pilsen and Little Village corridors, which are right there on the rivers. Integrated transit and on land and on water. Imagine if you could use your Ventra card to hop on Metra or CTA or the water taxi. A new vision for the port. One of the people in our audience today is the executive director of the Illinois International Port District, Clayton Harris, who's embarking on a new strategic plan and may well be up in front of the City Club in the future to share it with you in the future. New opportunities to generate local tourism and create jobs. That's all part of the productive vision. And what does living mean? From riverbeds to shorelines, plants, animals, and people will continue to coexist in vibrant, healthy ecosystems. That's the vision. So what's needed? Active volunteer groups. We have them in the form of block clubs and many local school councils, some park advisory councils, but every park and preserve along the riverfront ought to have some friends. You can, get your group started with a local cleanup if you join in the Friends of the Chicago River Cleanup Day on Saturday, May 13th. Making sure that new real estate development along the river improves the habitat for plants and for animals and for people. And an idea that has received a lot of attention, especially in the media, rivers that we can swim in. I know it sounds elusive, but as you'll hear in a moment from President Spiropoulos, it is very achievable. And we have Argonne Labs data to show that we are indeed making progress. It's quantifiable. Other cities with rivers comparable to ours, from Boston to London, have gotten there. And why should Chicago children in neighborhoods that are far away from the lakefront have any less of a chance to take a cool dip on a hot day than any other Chicago child? Our Great Rivers lays out a vision for an immense and diverse area to show people what's inviting, what's productive, what's living, and what that could look like. Last year, we worked again with Ross Barney Architects to develop detailed game plans for 5 locations. We talked to a lot of people about how these ideas could be put into action. And we were in places from South Suburban Riverdale up north to Bryn Mawr near the Blue Line Cumberland Station and places in between. Many of these built on local investment momentum. Here's a quick closer look at a few of those. This is the North Branch Canal on the east side of Goose Island, where for years people have talked about building a unique wetlands park in the heart of the city. Through the city's Industrial Corridor Modernization Initiative, the Department of Planning and Development is taking the next step. At the same time as they look at land use policy for industry, DPD is also examining the feasibility of this area for active recreation. The North Branch Canal could soon become a natural water park, the first of its kind in Chicago. What was once just an idea is indeed moving forward. On the South Branch, picture how a continuous riverfront trail could connect existing and new assets from the South Loop to Little Village and beyond. There are many existing hubs of neighborhood activity along the South Branch which can be connected to each other, including new South Loop riverfront development that's spearheaded by Related Midwest and CMK, to Chinatown's beautiful Pingtom Park, to La Villita, and continuing southwest to the Cook County Forest Preserves and the I&M Canal. Here's a rendering of the collateral channel in Little Village. That's approximately Kedzie and 31st, known locally by a memorable name which conveys the noxious odors it emits, especially on hot summer days. Anyone know the name? Ass Creek. Yep, it's similar, though less famous than Bubbly Creek. We are working with LAVEJO, that's the Little Village Environmental Justice Organization, and MWRD to develop a long-term solution that lessens the odor and provides the community with riverfront amenities, like a walkway that connects La Villita Park, which right now is directly to the north but unconnected, so it could head south along the channel and connect to the river. Imagine a trail that actually gives you river access. And last summer, MWRD took a very important first step by just increasing the flow of water in the channel and installing filters to manage odors. It really helped. Another example of the vision moving towards implementation. Check out this potential of this site at Ashland, north of 31st Street. Today, it's a vacant lot, just a stone's throw from the Ashland Orange Line station, which can whisk you downtown in, I checked it online, 16 minutes. But it could be home to a transit-oriented development, right there with river access and a bridge across Bubbly Creek to the Chicago Park District's beautiful new Genie Gang-designed Eleanor Street Boathouse. You may have heard that exposing local youth to rowing at an early age can open up tremendous college scholarship opportunities. We would love to work with Alderman Thompson on this big vision, bringing it to reality. There are many more places like this in Chicago, on the Chicago River, the Calumet River, and the Des Plaines River. Vacant lots that time forgot. Power line corridors that could be trails. Underutilized Metropolitan Water Reclamation District holdings that President Spropoulos can attest have a future. This year, we are holding design workshops for sites along the Calumet, identifying opportunities for public access to the river, tying these efforts to community-led initiatives like the Commercial Avenue Revitalization. To me, it's heartbreaking to see that there's absolutely no public access for 38 blocks from the lakefront all the way to 130th Street at Hagwish March. Tell me, would we stand for any other place in the city of Chicago to have that amount of waterfront, potentially, but no public access? Of course, many great ideas come not from experts, but from residents. There are rivers that are yours. These riverfronts are yours. They are everybody's. Inspired ideas from a BMX park along the North Branch to the annual Des Plaines Canoe Marathon. It's the 60th anniversary coming up. To a swim in the Calumet River last year to raise money for the CalSAG Trail. All of these came from community leaders, stewardship groups, fans of our rivers. So we were thrilled that the Chicago Community Trust recently released a call for projects to exactly these kinds of folks. The Trust is planning to award grants from $25,000 to $100,000 for local river and riverfront projects that align with this Our Great Rivers vision. Economic development, habitat restoration, art, culture programs, they're all eligible. It's incredibly exciting to see immediately available funding to bring these micro-local ideas to life. In February, MPC hosted two community workshops at the brand new Chicago Maritime Museum on the banks of Bubbly Creek in Bridgeport for people ready to turn their river ideas into action. We got 140 people there from throughout the Chicago area and some suburbs demonstrating their thirst to activate our riverfronts. With a little coaching, maybe a little funding from the Trust, those ideas can move forward toward implementation, such as, well, arts and culture programming at historic sites like bridge houses, renovations of existing destinations that could be in the future maybe a restaurant, and concessions to quench our thirst and sate our appetites, which with all this recreation we're going to need. To continue this theme of vision into implementation and to transformation, I'm delighted to now invite these three changemakers into the conversation. Each panelist is going to share a few thoughts about their part of implementation of our Great Rivers, and then I'll pose just a couple questions before we invite you into the Q&A discussion. And to start us off, I'm delighted to introduce Commissioner Rebecca Scheinfeld from the Chicago Department of Transportation. She'll be followed by President Spiropoulos, MWRD, and 11th Ward Alderman Patrick Thompson. Thank you all for sharing your vision.
Thank you, Mary Sue, and good afternoon, everyone. We're really pleased to be here. As Mary Sue noted, and of course the mayor himself noted, the City of Chicago is a major partner in this effort, and I'd just like to acknowledge the various city folks here today, including staff from Chicago Department of Transportation, as well as the city's Department of Planning and Development. So they have really been doing all the worker bee work every day in coordination within the city and then with our private sector, nonprofit in particular, partners and other local government agencies to move forward and to actually bring heft to these visions. As folks have already noted today, the development of our rivers is a great priority for the mayor. And not only has he laid out a vision, but he continues to drive behind all of the efforts that we have in various stages of implementation. I am proud to be one of the leaders on that team and, again, you know, have pledged our ongoing cooperation as we work collectively to advance these goals. As the mayor noted, we're really pleased next week on Monday that Chicago will be the center of a global event here talking about waterfront development with mayors from 19 cities across the globe. And this will be an opportunity to really continue to foster an international conversation about the future of urban waterfront and an opportunity for us to learn best practices from around the world. Today I wanted to highlight just a few of the capital investments that CDOT is moving forward to support this goal of opening up access to our riverfronts and making them true recreational opportunities and just bringing better access points. So as Mary Sue noted, and I see many of you have already experienced, we are really excited to have finished the most recent phase of the build-out of the Chicago Riverwalk. This is a perfect example of the transformation of a previously underutilized and, frankly, inaccessible to pedestrians waterfront, prime riverfront land right in the heart of the city, which has now really become an oasis. It was Daniel Burnham who originally dreamed up a plan for a riverfront promenade in his plan for Chicago, but it was under Mayor Emanuel's leadership that we finally brought this to reality, connecting the lakefront to the confluence at Lake Street. The mayor worked with then-Secretary of Transportation Ray LaHood to secure the funding needed through the TIFIA program, which is an innovative loan program, a federal low-interest loan that in this case, will be paid back with revenue from the concessions along the Riverwalk, including the boat tours that launch there. The first three segments of this new phase of the Riverwalk opened in 2015, and those were the three rooms from State to LaSalle, and those have been through two seasons already. We have each block or room, as we call it, has a different theme of design. In this first segment, we have the marina, the cove, and the River Theater, and those have all proved to be extremely popular. The three newest sections were opened at the end of last year, and we're really excited to have those available to the public starting off the season this spring. We have the Water Plaza, the Jetty, and the Riverbank. Let's click through a couple examples here of the ones that are open. And you see all the tremendous activity. Here's the one of the newest blocks. We have the Jetty. Children and everyone that would like to will be able to cool off in the zero-depth fountain at the Water Plaza, which is going to be as great as the zero-depth fountain in Millennium Park, so come on down. And then you have the Jetty with floating gardens and fishing piers, which offers habitats for aquatic life and will give Chicago's children an outdoor classroom for learning about fish, fauna, and other river life. And the city will be partnering with the Park District to do education there. The River Bank at the western end of the Riverwalk is the largest segment, and it features an ADA-accessible ramp and a sunsplash green space with the potential for future development. The The Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events is very much involved in our efforts to increase programming along the Riverwalk this season. So please look out for a full calendar of events, and we hope that you'll join us. Moving to the north branch of the river, we are really pleased to be moving forward on three bridge projects that will be really transformative in terms of connecting pieces of the puzzle already along the North Branch. Mary Sue mentioned this idea of, you know, long-term trail development, and we're very excited to be moving forward. The Riverview Bridge, which you see a rendering of here, formerly called the Addison Underbridge Trail Connector. The mayor said we needed a new name. Didn't roll off the tongue. So Riverview Bridge is the name, referencing back to the Riverview amusement park that used to be nearby. It will be the longest pedestrian river bridge in the city, and it will connect Clark Park and California Park. We expect to break ground on that this season in the spring. We are also moving forward with improvements to the Irving Park Road Bridge, reconstruction of that bridge, and as part of that project, adding an underbridge connection as well to connect California Park with Horner Park. So with these two bridges, we'll have 1.5 miles of continuous trail from Belmont to Montrose. Then looking into the future, starting in 2018, we expect to start construction on the North Shore Channel access at Hood Avenue. So between Peterson and Granville, we'll also have a river crossing there. And that will create the final link for a continuous multi-use trail connecting four municipalities along the North Shore Channel. It's important to note that we've been working closely with the state of Illinois on the plans for these three bridge projects, but keeping on schedule will be dependent on the state releasing funds that have been long planned for partnership on these projects, so we are optimistic about that. Partnerships with the state, partnerships with other public and private sector entities are what's key to keeping this moving forward and bringing this vision to reality. So again, we're pleased to be here today and for many years to come. Thank you.
Good afternoon, and thank you to the City Club for including me in this panel discussion. Thank you, Mary Sue. In order to understand the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District's role in our water quality, you need to understand a little bit about our history. For those of you who have heard my speech before about the reversing of the flow of the river, bear with me. We've got a lot of other exciting things that I'll share with you. So go back to the 1880s. Chicago is putting its waste in the Chicago River. I won't get too descriptive about that, but you can guess what I'm talking about. Very common thing going on at that time, not only here but throughout the rest of the world in terms of sanitation. That waste is flowing into Lake Michigan. Lake Michigan is the source of everyone's drinking water at that time, as it is today. And cholera and dysentery were common at that time. The state legislature, in their infinite wisdom, they do some good things down there, created the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District. And our goal was to protect our water environment. What we did in 1900 was to reverse the flow of the river. So Chicago was still putting its waste in the river, but now it was running west instead of east. So towns like St. Louis were the beneficiaries of whatever was going in there. And so how we did that was to create about 61-mile system of man-made canals, cut through the subcontinental divide, and through gravity, we made sure that that flow was going west instead of east. So that is not a sustainable type of system where the waste is going into the waterways. So in the throughout the years, 1920s and 30s, we build 7 treatment plants throughout the county. And I would invite all of you to come and take a tour of our plants. Try to not do it at the height of summer when it's a little aromatic. But the spring or the fall is a great time, and I think you'll find it very fascinating. So our mission has been to protect our water environment from our inception, and we continue to do that today with a lot of different projects that we have going on. As you heard from our previous presentations, an indication of what the Chicago River system was, look at the Union Stockyards. They said that a chicken could walk across the water at that time because there was so much waste in that water. So by the 1950s, the Water Reclamation District is treating 1.5 billion gallons of wastewater per day, water that had previously been going in the waterways. now is going to our treatment plants, being diverted to the Des Plaines River, Illinois River, and the Mississippi River. And in the 1960s and 70s, we conceptualized the Deep Tunnel Project, also known as the Tunnel and Reservoir Plan, and that was to take the overflow of rainwater that was, that was the overflow of rainwater that was going into the system, and that significantly reduced the amount of combined sewer overflows that were going into the river system. The TARP project is comprised of three large projects, the Majewski Reservoir in Des Plaines, holding 300 million gallons of water, the Thornton Reservoir down south, holding 7.9 billion gallons of stormwater, and the McCook Reservoir out west, which will come online in two parts, 2017, the first part, 3 billion gallons, second part, 7 billion gallons, will be the largest reservoir of its kind in the world. And as I said, that will significantly reduce the amount of combined sewer overflows going into the system. In 2011, the MWRD Board of Commissioners voted to disinfect our outflow from two of our plants to a higher standard. I wouldn't get your bathing suits ready yet, but we are working in that direction. And we are cleaning our outflow at our O'Brien plant with UV rays and the green button.
One back.
Oh.
I spun through.
There's the UV rays. And at our Calumet plant, we're cleaning it with chlorination, dechlorination, in order to make sure that the outflow is cleaner. We're working... we're working with Argonne on a study to make sure that what we're working on in terms of our TARP system, in terms of our disinfection, is in fact making sure that that water is cleaner. And what we have seen so far is supporting our efforts on that. Mary Sue mentioned our land ownership. We own a lot of land along the waterways. We are working on various projects to make sure that not only is that accessible as an open space component, but also as part of the riverfront efforts. Finally, something that a lot of treatment plants are doing is nutrient removal. So there's large amounts of phosphorus and nitrogen that are in our outflow. We are partnering with Ostara to capture our phosphorus. So we've got solids and liquids that come to our plants. The solids go through a centrifuge. That liquid that is extracted is combined with magnesium and phosphorus, as you know, is a mineral that is being depleted throughout the world. It's used for fertilizer. We are capturing that and creating fertilizer. So it's a sustainable effort, but it's also creating revenue, therefore reducing our burden on the taxpayer. We're also removing nitrogen from our Egan plant now and looking into expanding that to our other plants. So we see our efforts sort of supporting our original effort of maintaining our water environment, but increasing recreation, supporting thriving plant and aquatic life, creating jobs, increased investments, and, of course, a shared stewardship with agencies like MPC. Thank you.
All right, I'm batting cleanup here, so I'll try to be quick and get through this so we can all get back to work. But I first want to thank Mary Sue, and I want to thank the City Club for inviting me to be part of this panel. I do want to say hello to all my former colleagues at the Water Reclamation District, my fellow commissioners and the staff. They do a terrific job. And to my current colleagues at the city, some of my alderman colleagues, Joe Moore, and Gil Villegas was here, and Gil got to experience water up close on Sunday when he joined us for the Polar Plunge, and got to jump in the lake and see what it was like in a cold, actually it wasn't too bad on Sunday, but the water is still cold. So I also want to thank the mayor for coming today to take my speech and everything I was going to say, because he basically talked about how great the river is for economic development, and it's nice to be able to talk about, you know, building things and what we're seeing along. And I have a unique perspective, having served as a commissioner at the Water Reclamation District and now since 2015 as alderman in the 11th Ward, to see how they work very closely, and it's critical that the two government agencies work very closely to make sure that everything that the vision that the mayor has, that we all have, can come to fruition, to make sure that we clean the water so that we can all go down and enjoy it. As Commissioner Sheinfeld said, the Riverwalk downtown, what that's been able to do for the downtown area in terms of attracting tourism and attracting business opportunities, and you see the different retail opportunities open up along the river. We're seeing that now as you come further south. She talked a little bit about some of the things up on the north side of the river, but coming south, we're seeing it into the communities. And having the new boathouse at 28th and Eleanor has just been absolutely fantastic. That alone is sparking other development along the river. And so we have here 36 new single-family homes. Lexington is doing these homes. They're adjacent to Bridgeport Village, which was a development that started about 10 years ago. And 10 years ago, the average price was about $500,000 in Bridgeport Village, and now it's $650,000. So we're seeing an appreciation in value. We're seeing these new developments. And along here, when this development, they'll break ground this year, we made sure that we have public space and also riverfront, which is absolutely critical to make sure that people can come down and enjoy it and have it open. It's not a gated community. It's open to anyone, for all of the community to enjoy and really experience. And, you know, with the river, it's forever free, clear, and open, just like the lakefront. And so you always have light and air. You're always going to have that exposure. And it really, I think, is attractive. Here's some of the new homes and the styles that are going to be going in on the Lexington development. And those are in the $600,000 to $800,000 range. So they're, for our area, that's a high-end, higher-end housing. And it's terrific. We also have Bridgeport Arts Center and the Maritime Museum, and I see Grant Crowley here, one of the board members, and that is a terrific museum. Mary Sue mentioned you guys have been there. I'd encourage all of you to come down. The whole art scene that's moved south into Bridgeport and along that corridor in the Bridgeport Arts Center, it's a wonderful asset to our community. The Maritime Museum is fascinating. And as we're talking about water and not only the river, the lake, it is. I highly encourage you to come down and visit. And hopefully when you're there, you'll stop and patronize some of the businesses in the area, which is what we're trying to accomplish here. There's a picture of the boathouse that was just opened a few months ago. And the boathouse has a number of different buildings. One building is really for the community. We have about 5,800 square feet. We have almost 60 rowing machines. There's classes, rowing classes, and yoga classes. It has really become a great attraction for the neighbors along Eleanor Street, and that's the old original Bridgeport area. And there's other businesses that opened up. The Duck Inn, for example, is at Loomis and Eleanor, just down the street. We just redeveloped Jack Lick Park, which is a play lot across from the new boathouse. And there's five different rowing clubs that are there teaching classes for the community as well. So I know the mayor mentioned U of C. We also have UIC, St. Ignatius, and then Chicago Training Center, Montana Bush's organization, and then ROW, which is Jen Gibbons in Recovery on Water for women who experience breast cancer and now come together and are part of ROW, which is a terrific organization. I think I skipped one of the other development there. There's another development. If I can go back, I just want to see, because it's interesting what the architect did. Oh, I don't know. It got dropped. But we had where the rooftops of the new boathouse, the architect of this development which is about 30 single-family homes, picked up that same theme in the design. And so the rooftops of this new development have that same angled roof to look like a sail to match up and really play off of what that boathouse has been able to do. So we've seen a tremendous amount of development. I've been involved with the issue on a committee on Bubbly Creek, as mentioned a few times. I guess it would be in my DNA. My grandfather was mayor of the city of Chicago, and in 1973, he was talking about the Chicago River, and he said, quote, "People from the Loop can catch fish in the Chicago River and barbecue them on grills we've put on Lower Wacker Drive." That was his vision back in 1973. I don't know if I would encourage you to eat the fish, but I think that same vision that, you know, Mayor Emanuel and my Mayor Richard M. Daley also had with the river walk and what Mayor Emanuel's been able to do to finish that to some degree, but we want to continue. We want to continue with this path, and now there's a new vision to connect all of Chicago with the river. And from our part, from the 11th Ward, we want to continue to work with MPC. We want to work with all of you, Friends of the River, and see if we can't continue to fulfill that dream. Thank you.
I think we have time for just a couple questions. I hope you're gathering them. I do have a few questions for our group as we're collecting those. We'll just spend a few minutes. Rebecca, you shared with us quite a few ideas and projects underway that are public benefit. Can you also expound a little bit on what the city is doing to leverage some of the private investments to deliver more, to enhance those public benefits, kind of to connect those two pieces of public and private?
Certainly. The city's role on this is really to continue to develop what should be seen as a framework so that together between public investments and private investments, we can fill in the missing links, if you will, to create that vision of a continuous riverfront trail and continual and additional points of public access along the rivers. So that's really on the private side. It's incumbent on the city to continue to develop expectations so that we don't miss opportunities when there is private parcels of land being developed that abut the river, really working carefully between CDOT, DPD, and other agencies to ensure that those visions for development through the plan development process or whatever planning mechanism include significant public open space and creates a standard of expectations in terms of what that design and access is going to look like. So the North Branch planning process that's underway now, that's a good example of a more granular take on that, and we expect more of that to come.
And a lot of people have been watching the South Loop developments underway, and I know the public access is first up, so that even as the development is proceeding, that Related Midwest and CMK are involved with, you get that public.
Something like the Riverline benefit. Development, CMK one, that's a great example of how that provides for the public access.
Ed?
Yes. Oh, thank you, Mary Sue, thank you. A couple questions here. One from a Notre Dame PhD student, but I can't read the handwriting, so you better go back. This is from Jim Aldworthy of the Chicago Fire Department. Should Sears have moved its headquarters to Bubbly Creek instead of Poplar Creek? My daughter thought the land adjacent to Pitney Court should be a park. What is the status of this land parcel on Bubbly Creek? And then Jim, who's with the fire department, in parentheses says, I promised her I would ask it today.
I don't know if any of us can answer the specifics other than Alderman Thompson.
I guess it was for me. So there's a couple areas along Pitney Court. One is the area that 32nd and Benson, which is adjacent to the parcel that I believe is the one in question. Pitney Court People's Gas actually owns that, and that's a site that they're cleaning up, and that could eventually become either privately owned and continue housing along there, or that has been expressed in the past about trying to add some additional green space along there. So we are open for that discussion, and it has to be clean, though, before we can do anything.
And great. I think the larger point on any development is that if we make this commitment for specific sites and the connections between, we're going to be able to attract and retain even more business.
Okay, this is from Kellogg Fairbank, who's a member of the City Club
and is affiliated with that great Chicago Maritime Museum. He wants to know, what are the plans for Bubbly Creek? Pat Thompson, this is like an 11-4 meeting.
Well, I was actually going to defer that to the MWRD. you know, I think that, you know, we'd like to obviously see it cleaned. At 39th Street, there's the pumping station that the MWRD utilizes and actually draws water from Bubbly Creek to help with the flow down a main interceptor out to Stickney. And so we need to continue to use that, and on some rare occasions, and let me just be clear, David, rare occasions, we have overflow that we have to discharge, or that they have to. I'm not there anymore, sorry. That they have to discharge. But we want to work with President Spiropoulos and the board to I know that was my priority when I was there, is to try to clean that up. I don't know, Marianne, if you want to have anything to add.
I'll just pull back up the rendering here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can see the pedestrian bridge that's missing on our street boathouse. So you can see how that, that site's potential could really be unlocked.
Marianne, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, can you hear me? So just to add to Alderman Thompson's statements, you know, there's still a lot of work to be done on the rivers. We know what the history is for the Bubbly Creek area. We're working in partnership with the city on that, and that certainly doesn't preclude incredible developments like this. And I think that it sort of accelerates the fact of what we need to do on the river. So,
thank you. And now I'll try to handle this question from that PhD student. I'd like to. His or her last name is McKay. Where are you? Not even here? Okay, forget it.
Yeah. They're not going to admit they're here.
What can I say? Well, do you have another question?
Yes, I do.
You'd like to ask, and if there's anyone else, hold your card up and we'll pick it up.
Terrific. So for all of us, I think there's a reflective moment that Mayor Emanuel put before us, which is 20 years ago, we could not have imagined this kind of Chicago Riverwalk moment and many of the other assets, the kinds of activities and, crowded number of recreation vehicles on the river. And yet, here we are. So to each of you, if you could share with us what you think the most inspiring 20-year vision is that you think we can accomplish, and if there's any one piece that you're focused on that stands in the way that we have to kind of come together to remove. So looking out 20 years, what's the thing that you think we'll say, we say wow today, but we'll do it in 20 years?
Rebecca, you want to start? Commissioner?
I think having real options for people to utilize the right-of-way of the river in some way as part of their daily commute. So whether that's walking across a pedestrian bridge to get to that transit station that wasn't readily accessible before, or commuting on your bike along a continuous trail, or taking a water taxi as part of maybe a multi-step part of your commute, but making that an active option for all Chicagoans.
Thank you. Mariana?
I would say that as an agency, what we're looking at now is water as an economic driver, water in terms of what can be extracted from it. I don't think people were talking about that 10, 20 years ago. Who would think that you could be extracting phosphorus from it? And by the way, we do have samples outside that you can take on your way home. But that is the way that wastewater treatment is going. And so if we can look at that, it will reinforce the fact that we can get our waters cleaner. And I don't think that swimming and catching the fish and barbecuing it in Lower Wacker Drive is something far out of our future.
As long as you said that, this question from McKay, which I think people want to know about,
the person that's
is
not here?
Treated wastewater in Chicago returned to Lake Michigan?
I'm sorry?
Is treated wastewater in Chicago returned to Lake Michigan?
No.
Okay. That part I could read. Great.
Alderman.
Alderman Thompson.
I think that one of the things the commissioner mentioned was just having the accessibility. You know, we have now Pingtown Park is as far south as you can come on the water taxi. But there's also the heliport at Halsted and Archer. And they're building right now, they're building a water taxi station there. I talked with the mayor about perhaps having a trying to get a stop at our new boathouse and then maybe down to Ashland. So I think, you know, in order to utilize that, we have to, it's a lot of effort here and working with MWRD to make sure we're cleaning it. And, you know, we can talk about this, but really showing the progress and making sure, because that will attract the developments that we have. We've got to make sure it's clean. I mean, there's some pioneers right now that are buying along, like Bubbly Creek, for example. I would love to see that Bubbly Creek, a solution that's a solution that works and actually does clean up the creek there. And I think that we could, between our two government agencies. And I want to just thank U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, who was a tremendous help, I know, at the MWRD and with the city to bring in the resources to help with a lot of the work that goes on there. So,
by the way, I was at a news conference that your grandfather held, and he was talking about the river. And Bob Crawford, retired journalist from WBBM Radio at the time, stood up and said, "Mr. Mayor, you know, we know you're very fond of fishing. When will we be able to fish in the Chicago River?" And your grandfather leaned over and said, "Crawford, you can fish anytime you want, but I'm not sure anything that comes out of there." And then he cracked up laughing. Yep. I just want to make an announcement because I think my president just gave me a breaking news. The City Club of Chicago will be holding a program, but I don't know the date, Jay. Immigration, the American Dilemma, May 9th. So put this in your calendar. The panelists will be John Rowe, Juan Rangel, a gentleman named Chuy Garcia, and the moderator will be Sylvia Puente. It just went on the website today. So that's May 9th. Thank you. We have just a couple of items of business before we can adjourn. Let's give our panelists a big round of applause.